Okay, you guys, so I hope everybody's doing really well. I thought this was a good opportunity to do a little bit of an update, I guess just on how training's going. You know, it's a couple of weeks before I give it a go qualifying for the Olympics, and I haven't really done, you know, heaps of updates just generally from, you know, where things are at. Is it looking good? Is it not? You know, that kind of thing. I think if I'm being pretty honest about things, that probably the reason even for podcasting today is I'm just probably extremely overwhelmed by just the entire thing, you could say. You know, I was actually just about to do a YouTube video, and I was setting up the light, for example, and you know, of course the microphone was out of battery, and the light that has a, I don't know, like a bolt and a nut, and you screw them together and they tighten, and you know, it holds the light in place. Well, of course they broke, and because they broke, the light like fell and, you know, bangs me in the head, and oh, it's like I just swore, like just like fuck. And it's kind of like, I don't know, like if I'm being honest, which is the, you know, the whole purpose of the podcast, like it's becoming really overwhelming. Not YouTube, not, you know, sharing, none of that. It's I'm trying to run and train in the worst possible way that you can. Like, it literally goes against any piece of advice that I, you know, I tend to give people from what I've sort of learned about, you know, running and how it, you know, comes together sometimes, and then, you know, other times it seemingly, you know, doesn't, and we're always stuck. Do we, you know, do you back off a bit? But then if you back off a bit, are you not going to achieve your goal because you didn't do the training? But maybe your body needed, you know, some rest, some recovery. But you're always in this sort of like limbo between, you know, I appreciate that my body potentially does need some rest and some recovery, but the goal that I'm trying to achieve kind of depends on being able to do X, Y, and Z and training. And so you're in this really strange place that not only are sometimes you forcing training when maybe it wasn't meant to be because of tiredness or because of, you know, fatigue, but then you're also forcing, you know, the pace in some of that training. And that's what I probably hate the most about this, like, you know, I'll try to make the Olympics. And when I, you know, made this decision to, you know, attempt to qualify for the Olympics, it was set up that you would have half the field would qualify, you know, via standard, which is 208.10. And then what World Athletics hoped is that half the field would qualify via like the ranking points. You know, I think I sort of made this statement that, you know, if you run 210.00 twice for the marathon, you know, that should be enough to like help you qualify. And what I meant by that was, I think 210.00 from like a points perspective is like, you know, it's 1150 points, something like that. And so my run at Dublin, because it was the national championships, I got, and I, you know, I placed third, I got 11.75. So I think it was worth like 209 something, like maybe 209.30, something like that. And that's nothing to do with the course or anything like that. It's just the way these points are set up. You kind of get like bonus points if you place well, or if you do your national champs. But a long story short, it's like every month that there's another marathon, it becomes harder and harder to qualify for these Olympics. And I mean, I honestly think when I last looked, there was maybe like five spots left in the sort of ranking quota, you could say. And that means that 75 people, when they take out three per country, have ran under this 208.10 standard. And I mean, this is the story of my life, and it's kind of my own fault. But as you well know, listening to the podcast, I go through these like ups and downs, and sometimes I'm showing good form, and you know, sometimes I'm not. And a lot of that is, you know, directly linked to the psychology. But of course, when the really quick marathons were happening, which is like Valencia at the end of December, and, you know, Seville, which was in February, and why I'm saying these marathons are quick, you're looking at, you can come like 30th place in one of these marathons and run the standard. 30th place, and you're running under 2:08:10. I mean, that is incredible. And that speaks volumes for weather conditions, course, you know, getting a real good group around you that, you know, really helps drag you to this standard. And so it's kind of my own fault, because if there wasn't a lack of consistency in my career, I wouldn't be in this spot where you're kind of chasing. And when you're chasing, it's the worst feeling in the world. And so lately, it honestly feels like that light coming down on my head was like, that's the world at the minute, like falling down on top of my head. Like I'm trying, you know, I did a session this morning, and it's very likely that I was tired in the session. And again, you're going to think this is ridiculous, but I have been sleeping in an altitude tent. I don't normally sleep in an altitude tent, but if you are on social media and you see any of the mountains in Europe right now where normally athletes will go train, Font-Romeu, St. Moritz, they are covered in snow. So it's snow, you know, wind, this kind of thing. And trying to do maybe good marathon sessions or some of the stuff that, you know, really helped me for Dublin Marathon, you know, very, very difficult. So I've been sleeping in a tent, and the purpose of a tent is to, you know, simulate altitude, and you check like your pulse oximeter, it's called, and normally your saturation sits at 98, and you want it to kind of drop to like 90 to 92, I would say. And so of course I flew home and I set it up at home, and, you know, I set the altitude, I think, to like 8,000 feet. And when I woke up the next day, my pulse oximeter was kind of showing like it hadn't really made any impact. So like it was, I do have like an oxygen checker, and of course I do. I'm a full geek and love spending money on stupid things. And like it was kind of accurate, but for some reason the little pulse oximeter was only showing like 96-97%, which kind of makes it then almost a bit of a waste, because to get kind of like adaptations, you need it to be like 90 to 92. You need your body to kind of be like, oh, sugar, you know, my oxygen levels are low here. And that's when you get the changes. And so I've been sleeping in a tent for probably about 2 weeks now. And so that was a long way of saying, I then increased the height of the generator, and I slept last night, and I woke up this morning, and like, I think my saturation was like 86, 87. And I had like a sore head, and I even remember like waking up in the night and like kind of not waking up totally, but almost like finding it pretty hard to breathe, which is probably because the fucking height of the tent was really high. And this is just like the story of my life. Like, so I go do like my session this morning, and I'm just really tired. Like, I mean, really tired. And I'm finding what should be quite comfortable, and why it should be comfortable is because at the weekend I literally ran like 18 miles quicker than I was doing like 2K reps this morning. And I just felt so tired. And I honestly, like, I mean, I still kind of got the session done, and that's kind of like fair. But I just honestly, I felt like at the end, I was like, it's like I'm getting worse. It's like I'm really trying, and like, I'm not going to like bang on about it, but it's like, I'm trying like so hard. And it's like, but yet the more I try, like the worse it's getting, you know? And it's like, what the fuck am I doing at 35 years of age, sleeping in an altitude tent and getting like mad at myself that like my saturation in the morning isn't where it should be. And then I wanted to race again this weekend. And of course I looked up the weather for, you know, where I was going to race, and it's 25 Celsius. And so I've been jumping in the sauna after runs, because that's really good for like heat acclimation. And even just listening to what I'm saying, like altitude tent and sauna and, you know, the training, and it's like, you know, it can just be too much. And then it's like, you need to just tell your brain, like, just fucking calm down. Like, yes, it might be warm, but like, you can't do the sauna and the altitude tent and the marathon training and you know, getting gym back in place and then getting like physio and treatment on, you know, areas that have been tight. And it's like, you're kind of going to like wake up the next day and do this session and you're going to be like tired in it. And what, like, you're confused? There's nothing to be confused about. You're tired because you've just done too much. And I think why I'm sort of like angry is because it's not, I'm not doing too much because like I want to be greedy. It's like I'm just doing what I genuinely believe you need to do to like perform. And so if you want to go and race somewhere and it's going to be 25 degrees, you absolutely must do like a heat acclimation strategy. There's no doubt about it. The only way to perform in warm conditions is to do some kind of heat acclimation strategy. Like it's you just have to do it. It's simple. And it's also kind of like, you know, if you want to run 2:08:10 for the marathon, you probably need to have done altitude or slept in a tent. If you want to run 2:08:10 for a marathon, you will need to have done, you know, big marathon sessions, getting close to, you know, 2:08:10 pace. And so when I said at the start that this is like the running that I like hate the most, is when you're trying to like force things together that like it's either meant to be or it's not meant to be. And you can force some things sometimes, but the way the human body, I think, works, or probably definitely does work, is sometimes when we force things a little bit, we see like a adaptation, you know, we see that it kind of works and things get better. But then we're never in control of whether or not that same sort of like act of forcing it will kind of like work the next time. And so obviously like things work really well for Dublin. You know, I go up a mountain, I train harder than you're likely supposed to in you know, a 4-week period. And, you know, it triggered a reaction that was, you know, built a lot of strength, got me super, super fit, got me really motivated, got me confident. And you go to Dublin and you can perform really well. But when you're human, which, you know, I think we all are, you just don't really know the impact, or, you know, will that make you tired? You know, will the body recover? Will your legs post-race, you know, get back to that kind of like full strength? You know, will the psychology get back to, you know, a really good place to be able to do that again? And I guess to put things in perspective, my previous good marathon before Dublin, I think, was 2 years before. And then I think if you look at the, you know, the London marathon, my, you know, my previous good marathon before that was kind of like maybe like a year before that. And the consistency that I used to find in marathon running, well, I was running at a much lower intensity. So I kind of went from like 215 to, you know, 213 to, you know, 212. And I think I probably found a sort of like 2:11:55, 2:12:01, 2:11:52. I probably found a like time range of like an area that I could kind of like manage consistently. And so I could do a camp at altitude, or I could just train at home. I could race a, you know, a half marathon in the build up. And when you're trying to run 2:12 or 2:13, you know, you only have to run probably like 64, 65. You don't have to run 62 minutes to then think you can run 2:12 or 2:13, especially in marathon training. But I think what happens is when you push your limits to a new place, and like you drag a sub 2:10 out of your body, or like I can tell you right now that the result at Dublin was another sub 2:10. It might not have been on the day, but with weather and course and multiple other factors, it was a sub 2:10 result. There's no doubt about it. And you put that at Valencia or Seville, and it, you know, it's even faster. And so where I'm sort of going with that is, like, we don't really know the true cost. And I think what I've found over this last, you know, probably like 5-6 months or whatever, it just hasn't, it might look smooth on Strava because I've been able to, you know, get sessions done. Hold on. Apologies. So yeah, it might, like, by all accounts, it might look smooth. And forgive me, but, like, you guys are going to look at the splits and think, like, I don't know, like, whoa, they're really fast, okay? But because I know where the fitness needs to be, hypothetically, to run, first of all, I don't know where it needs to be to run 208.10 because I've never done it. But I have a fair idea what I was capable of doing before I ran 209. And I can tell you I'm 5 seconds per mile, maybe, slow. And so when I say, like, I'm falling apart, it's only because the goal was supposed to be go run 210 twice. And so when you go to Dublin and you run, like I said, the equivalent to like 209.15, I think it was, in points, I'm supposed to now be able to go run 210.45 and, you know, still qualify for the Olympics. And I guess, like, what happened is loads of fuckers just ran really quick, and that kind of, like, when I sat down and thought to myself, can I make that next Olympics? I genuinely believed an athlete that runs the equivalent to 210 twice should be at the Olympics. And I believed I could do that, even with Dublin. You know, I kind of thought I can go to Dublin. I know the points for the national champs is really good, and then I can, you know, follow it up with another marathon next year. And so, yeah, it got harder, and yeah, I don't know. It's not that I don't know. The fitness is not showing signs that you're suddenly going to run 208.10 for the marathon. I know Lisbon was hot, but you shouldn't DNF a half marathon in the build up when you're going to go and run 208.10. The guys that are running 208.10, I'll tell you right now, in their build ups, they're running 61, 62 at least. And I guess, like, I do a good job of, you know, staying positive about it, and kind of, like, through motivating other people, you know, motivate myself, and, you know, just ask myself to just keep trying. That's kind of, like, the big thing in all this. Like, it's kind of like, kid, just, you know, just keep trying. Like, you never know, like, it might turn a corner. But yeah, the overwhelming feeling is coming from, as, and this is the advice part of it, that it's kind of like, as the stress builds, that your goal that you've set becomes quite daunting. Well, then what happens is you kind of, like, start trying to force things. And that's, you know, what I've sort of said previously, like, you know, the altitude tent goes higher, you know, you're in a sauna to get gains from a sauna, you know, you're back in the gym and then you're loading in the gym. You know, my body there this morning was tired, and I am going to rest tonight, but I've said that 6 times over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, the people that I've been training with have probably thought to themselves, like, he's a liar. Like, he trained with us this morning and he said he's not going to train tonight because, you know, he felt a bit tired, or because he ran that race at the weekend. And then, of course, I go train again. And it's because, like, the psychology is just, it's working overdrive, because it's just like more, more, more. You're not there yet. You need more. That, you know, the pace isn't there yet. You need to do more. And quite honestly, sometimes it's like the polar opposite. Like, you need to do less. But how do you do less when you were doing more, it wasn't creating, you know, the desired effect? And that's kind of the difficult part. When, you know, a marathon, you know, it's so hard. It demands so much. Like, especially, I don't know, like, when you're trying to run a marathon, like, sub 5 minutes per mile, or, you know, whatever it is, I think it's like 4:52 or something crazy. I just, Yeah, there's no room for the body not feeling great. There's no room for things still being a bit tired from the previous marathon. There's no room for self-doubt, even, if I'm being honest. Like it, and I just know that it is a really, you know, difficult thing to do at the best of times. And I found the last probably the last couple of weeks just really quite tough. And I don't even know really where I'm going with this, other than to share that this isn't just, you know, straightforward. And I always sort of think to myself, like, and there's an arrogance here, but it's like, you know, if anybody can do it, even with all the doubt, even with like being so unsure of myself, not knowing whether to, you know, take it easy or keep pushing, I'm kind of like, well, if anyone's kind of got through this before, it's something that I've, you know, been able to do usually. But I'm just, yeah, quite worried, knowing that it is such a difficult task, that the task has got a lot harder. And yeah, that, you know, training just hasn't really clicked for me, you could say, lately. And I know some of the splits do look good, and you know, I even did a long run. Hold on. I even did like a pretty long 18 miles at the weekend. But, you know, I should have probably done that like a month ago. And I think the way the long run kind of went, like I started at like 5:20 pace, and I you know, I think I ran the last 12 miles, you know, sub 5:10. Which, like, I mean, listening to that, it sounds amazing. And I should be like absolutely delighted with it. But when the stupid bloody pace at 2:08:10 is 4:52, it's difficult to get excited. It's not fair. That's what I'm going to say. Like, I'm going to be like petty about it, but it's just not fair. Why can the pace not be like 5:02? And then I could be like really happy and really excited with how things are going. And I think there's a message in there that I'm really hoping I can like discover and see. And it's like, if things are getting better, you know, if there's progress, like, you should never be unhappy. And just because like a goal or something that, you know, you were aiming for, you know, changed, it had to change. So the goal was 2:10 twice, you know, the points equivalent to 2:10 twice. And it's not my fault that it changed. And so with that change, then I had to start looking at 2:08:10. And what's really interesting is I, if I'm being completely honest, then I might surprise myself and I might do it. But I didn't see that I could run 2:08:10 in April. And the only reason I say that is because if you watched when I run my absolute best, it's probably between October to January, for multiple reasons. One being weather, like temperature, and the other because these places that I go train at altitude are more easily available because they're not covered in snow. So my best marathons have came from being able to go up that mountain in France and train with company and be pushed on a daily basis. Or like some of my best marathons have came from going to Flagstaff in, you know, the October, November, December sort of time. And then being able to drop in from altitude to like a Houston marathon, you know, January, freezing cold, perfect for me. And so I have been chasing this 2:08:10, but it's probably something that I thought was a bit beyond myself. And so I've been like absolutely beating my head against the wall every day to try to like I said, that to try to like force it. And actually all I've done is probably like burnt myself out a bit and made myself like overtired, you could say, because like I look at some of the people that are doing this kind of training and able to do it, and you know, they're champions. And it's not I was no European champion when I was younger. I was no, you know, I didn't win medals in the age groups. I just, yeah, found a love for a sport and a passion, and feel like I've done a really good job of pulling like good results out of myself. I got to tell you, the majority of the time when I'm out there training or racing, I don't feel special. I feel like a lot of the time it's very ordinary, you could say. And that's because I'm comparing it to, you know, what these, you know, best athletes in the world are able to do. And they're not running at the speeds that a lot of the time I have to keep those efforts in the right place. And that's where it probably just gets a bit like deflating. And so this is probably like a much different podcast. Like, I feel like normally lately I've been really positive, but that would just be like a lie. And it doesn't mean like I'm giving up or anything like this. I'm frustrated because like the Olympics is such a huge thing to aim for. Like literally when I look in front of me right now on my fireplace is a, you know, it's a Banksy street art where he's stealing one of the Olympic rings. And like the Olympics is huge. But I'm sad because I've got things going in a really great direction. And like I said, there's been progress, you know. Progress is all we can ever ask for. The things are just gradually getting a little bit better. It's just a shame that the progress isn't happening at the, you know, the rate that I perhaps needed it to go and run this, you know, huge goal. And the other really sad thing is that when you go to London and, you know, you race the marathon, as you all know, there's this huge high often. Or for me, if, you know, if you don't hit that 208.10, there can be this, you know, huge low. And it's not really what I want in life right now, is to almost feel like I failed when like my goal from running is to be happy, to enjoy it, to like love the sport, to love the training, to love seeing progression. And then the way the marathon's set up, as I found lately, is pre-marathon, there's this joy and passion and love seeing the progress. And then post-marathon, there's this like huge sense of loss. Because even if you run exceptionally well, which obviously at Dublin I did, it took me maybe 3 months, 2-3 months, to get things back to where they were before Dublin, right? And when you've achieved something so special like I did at Dublin, that's kind of, you know, worth it. Because it's like, okay, well, you know, that was such a big achievement that I don't mind that it could take 3 months before I, you know, get back to that place. But I feel like since January, or certainly probably like even December, I've been, you know, really working hard to see this progress that I'm talking about. That like over the last week or two before I did today, which like I was tired and there's not much I can do about that. Like I kind of get it with altitude tent going too high and sauna and all this sort of stuff. But I have seen things starting to, you know, get to that good place. And I wish, you know, I wish the races that I was doing were like Lisbon. That sure, for a couple of days you're a bit tired, but then like it actually sometimes moves you forward and you see more progress. Whereas, you know, you go to London, you race, no matter how it goes, good or bad, you then have to deal with the, I now must recover for, you know, a period of time, whether it's 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks, if it takes even longer, it takes even longer. And then you have to almost like restart, do it all over again. What do you aim for next? What's the next big goal? You know, is it something like Dublin Marathon? And yeah, I think I'm just feeling vulnerable is probably what I'd say with that in mind, that it's been a challenging build up. It's been tough doing a lot of stuff by myself. It's been tough trying to chase times in training that, you know, are probably just a level above where I'm at, which is okay. And then what I'm not okay with is that you then have to go through this sort of process of like beating yourself up about it. Or like being sad about it or being mad about it. Like what the fuck this morning? Like why are you going to be mad at yourself? Because like a pace isn't, you know, where somebody else made it up that it has to be. Like you're hopefully just doing your best and trying to get the best out of yourself. And there's no room or space in that little pocket of world or whatever it is, pocket of space, for you to be mad at yourself that it's not where, yeah, it maybe needed to be for a time that maybe right now was just a bit beyond yourself, you know. But I shall leave it there. That was very, very sad. Different kind of sad, but yeah, just be careful when you're setting goals, that your goal should always be just to be a little bit better than yesterday, right? And if you can achieve that, and you can be, you know, a little bit better than yesterday, you know, that's awesome. You know, keep doing that and protect whatever it is that's creating that, whether it's a good headspace, you know, good momentum. Just keep trying to be that little bit better and always learn, but trust yourself too, you know, and recognize if you are, you know, biting off a bit more than you can chew, doing a little bit too much. Sometimes you do need to slow down a little bit. So it's not punishment, but probably because I did maybe too much in the sauna, you know, maybe did put the altitude tent a bit too high. I understand why, you know, like the sauna thing was to help what would be something that was set up to help London. And actually in the process of setting these things up, you know, maybe they hinder. The altitude tent was set up to help qualifying for the Olympics. But when you combine altitude tent with not as good sleep, with having to figure out the height of the altitude tent and all this stuff, does it eventually hinder? And so it's not punishment to not go and train again tonight. It's probably just being smart and being sensible and accepting that there's probably more harm than good could come from if this morning didn't go well because there's tiredness in the body. Don't go and make it more tired. And then hopefully things can, you know, crack on over the next few days. But yeah, look, I appreciate you all listening as always. And take care.